Hey, and hallelujah, everybody. Yes, it's me, Shangela, back with you again. Ooh, yes. I'm so thankful you guys are listening because we are having a good time to connect. And I have a lot of stuff I want to chat with you about today. And I'm super excited that later on today, I'm joined on this podcast by author of the book I'm Special and Other Lies I Tell, plus the writer, executive producer, and star actor from the show Special on Netflix. I've got Ryan O'Connell coming today, okay? Ryan O'Connell's gonna be in the building. But before we get to Ryan later on, let's chat now. Now, 2019, we're going through this year, y'all, and it's actually going so fast. Can you believe we are like almost halfway done with the entire year? And I'm thrown. And I've been, you know, I started this year with a mission. Get your life together. And not in a bad way. I just want to be, you know, what Oprah calls the best version of yourself. I want to be the best version of myself. So I was like, okay, Shangela, last year I did a 184 city tour around the world. I was in a different city or country every other day, honey, on a plane, just eating everything I could see. Hot wings at 2 a.m, slices of pizza for breakfast. Just, you know, when you're traveling like that, sometimes you just get food where you can. And I knew that I wanted to kind of just do better. You know, when you feel better when you eat better. I tell my mom this all the time. Mama, it's like a car and gas. If you put raggedy gas in the car is going to be boop, 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 just booting along, okay? But if you put lovely gas, now I'm not talking about expensive, I'm just talking about not bad gas. You can still pick 87 regular for y'all U.S. people and not have to pay $5 a gallon, but you want to put the best stuff in to get the best result out. And I've been trying to do better this year. If anyone, you guys who follow me on Instagram, thank you. You've seen that I've been trying to like be more active and get out there and like work out and work with either trainers or friends and also change my diet and try to do a little better, just a little. Okay, I'm still eating, you know, at least a bag of Skinny Pop popcorn before I go to bed. Y'all know I live for Skinny Pop popcorn, but I've tried to do better. And you know, I was working really hard between like April 7th all the way leading up to the White Party Palm Springs performance, right? And I was like, I want to be my best. I want to do my best. I want to look, you know, my best and feel great, especially when I'm all laid out at the pool and all that. And I really did do a good job, but all the way up until April 28th. And then after, I was like, I'm on vacation. And y'all know, sometimes when you like work hard for something, you're like, okay, I'm going to have a cheat day. And then a cheat day turns into 2 cheat days. And then you start feeling like, you know, the girl from Community, you're like, you know, it wasn't Community. It was Treat Yourself. That came from Parks and Recreation. Yes. So I started to, you know, treat myself. And that led to 2 weeks of treating myself. And I just fell off. And I started feeling bad. But you know what? The thing about it is, guys, I want you to remember this. If you fall down, I know it sounds so easy, just get back up. If you stop on a journey or get, you know, sidelined on your path that you created for yourself or that you wanted for yourself, it's never too late to change the channel and go, you know what? I'm going back to trying again. And that's what I'm doing, y'all. I'm getting back out there and I'm trying again, honey. I got to get myself back together. And not just my body, like my vision also has like, I don't know if you guys experienced this ever, but my vision has started to get a little wonky, right? So I thought, oh, I'm just going to go in and have LASIK because everybody's having LASIK these days. And 5, 6, 7, 8, do a little chop, chop, and I'm good. Well, turns out that my right cornea is too thin for LASIK. Who knew? Maybe it's from working out at the gym. I lost all my cornea weight. I don't know. Anyway, cornea is not too thin. So I've had to like start wearing glasses or contacts. And for shout out to all of you guys out there who wear glasses or contacts on a daily, like it's nothing. Because for me, putting contacts in, girl, I might as well be trying to do the cornea surgery, the LASIK myself, okay, with my middle finger just poking my eye. But I'm working on it. I am working on it. And, you know, just staying on the mission. This year's had so many great, amazing things. Guys, okay, news. I don't know if you saw this. Recently, NASA announced that they are going to be sending their first American woman to the moon by the year 2024. Now, I've noticed it's an American woman because I feel like some country has been progressive and said, you know what, forget this. We put our woman on the moon now. But America's never done it. It's so surprising and shocking to me. So I'm really thrilled. I don't know why it's going to take y'all 4 more years, but hey, I don't know the space program. I don't know the trainings and all that. But shout out to NASA for jumping on the bandwagon of rightness and just being like, okay, it's time to have diversity, not only on land, but also in space and also on the moon. So you guys knowing that I did the intro for Ariana Grande's song NASA on the Thank You Next album, then you know I had to text or DM Ariana Grande and be like, girl, I hear you going to the moon, girl, in 2024, because she has the song NASA, right? If you haven't heard it, track 3, NASA, you know, I'm in the intro going, this is one small step for woman, one giant leap for womankind. And then recently, Bill Nye, I saw, tweeted when he retweeted the NASA story from CNN.com and wrote, one giant leap for womankind. Bill, are you over there listening to the Thank You Next album, Bill? What's the tea, Bill? Mm-hmm. Okay. But I love it. I love it. 2024 is going to be an amazing year. Okay. But in 2019, things are still moving right along. And I'm having a good time. I hope you guys are too. There's some amazing, you know, films out there. You know, I love movies. Anybody who knows Shangela loves a movie night. Now, my friends might tell you from recent experiences that I will fall asleep in a movie. Even a good one. I will give y'all my good 12. You know, I live in LA, honey. $16 sometimes to just go in there and take a lovely 2-hour nap. I can fall asleep before the first scene is done. I fell asleep in Deadpool 2. Great movie. I fell asleep. I recently fell asleep on J-Lo's second act. Great movie. I love a J-Lo rom-com. Excuse me. I love J-Lo working in a department store, and then she decides she's going to go and get her another job with a fake resume, but she's going to work her way to the top. This is like Devil Wears Prada meets J-Lo meets How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days meets something else. I don't know. I just love J-Lo rom-coms. I fell asleep in Shazam recently. Now, Shazam was a horrible movie. I don't care. Y'all can DM me. You can write me. I'm at itshangela, and I ain't scared, okay? Shazam was horrible. It was okay, but it just went on and on and on. I was like, Lord, have mercy. Good movies that I saw, What Men Want with Taraji P. Henson, Liv, lovely. I saw What Men Want years ago with Mel Gibson. You know, we don't really talk about Mel Gibson no more since she came out. You know, she was racist and stuff. But I do love Taraji P. Henson, and this movie, What Men Want, is hilarious. It's so funny. And there's also a gay character and storyline, so get into that. So all my LGBTQIA people and supporters and allies and advocates and all the other words that start with A that means supporting people, you check that out, okay? It's so good. What Men Want. Let's see what else. Oh, Little with Marseille Martin and Issa Rae and my good girl Regina Hall. Such a good film as well, okay? I recently met Marseille. Oh, Lord, I hope I'm pronouncing this young lady's name right. Marseille Martin, I love you. And if it's Marseille, I apologize, but I think it's Marseille. You know, I've never been good at accents, and I've never been good at pronunciations always. But anyhow, she is on the show Black-ish. She plays one of Tracy Ellis Ross's daughters and Jennifer's granddaughter. Y'all know I love Jennifer Lewis. Y'all should take a shot or a drink, unless you're driving, don't do that, every time I say the name Jennifer Lewis, because I love Jennifer Lewis. Jennifer Lewis. Anyway, the movie that Marseille actually executive produced, making her the youngest executive producer in all of Hollywood. Also, she's a diva of color, hallelujah. And I recently met her backstage at the Shorty Awards, and I was like, Marseille! And she was like, hey! I guess that's how you pronounce it, because I called her then and she responded. So I like that. But she was so sweet, her and her mom and everyone was backstage. And she was like, oh, my God, we got to take a picture for Jennifer. And then I started doing a little bit of my Jennifer Lewis impersonation. Those of you who watch Drag Race know I do a good Jennifer Lewis, okay, because I won with Jennifer Lewis in a Snatch Game All-Stars 3. If you haven't seen it, you better go check it out. It has a horrible ending. But anyhow, so check that out. The movie Little. It's so good. So yeah, that's what I'm into. And I'll let this go, but one of my favorite classic films, Jackie's Back, okay, starring Jennifer Lewis. Yeah, I knew it was coming. As a washed-up diva trying to make a comeback. It was done in 1999, this film was, and it's become kind of a gay cult classic. And it's so funny. Everybody's in this movie. Everybody from Whoopi Goldberg, Loretta Devine, Bette Midler, Liza Minnelli, Kathy Griffin, Sean Hayes. It has cameos from everybody. Dolly Parton is in this film, okay? And I'm looking forward to having Jennifer as a guest here on the podcast soon. But I'm excited to tell y'all that on Saturday, July 13th, now, in the film, of course, I gotta tell you this. In the film, Jackie Washington celebrates Jackie Washington Day, you know, a day in her hometown that they gave to honor her, right? Every July 15th, she says, honey, every July 15th is Jackie Washington Day. That was Jennifer Lewis. It's Jackie Washington. So good. Anyway, this year, 2019, marks the 20th year anniversary of Jackie Washington, the movie. So I've partnered with my good friend Nathan Hale Williams, producer out here in Los Angeles, and he and I are working with Jennifer to produce on July 13th, 2019, in Los Angeles. We are producing Jackie Washington Day. The concert continues, and Jennifer's going to be there and do a whole big thing. We're going to have so much fun. So any fans of Jackie Washington, the movie, I'm sorry, Jackie's Back, the movie, and Jackie Washington Day, you can get tickets very soon. I'll let you know on the next podcast where you can get those tickets and come out to LA and have so much fun with us. Speaking of fun, I have a great guest coming up. Ryan O'Connell from the Netflix show Special is going to be chatting with me about, you know, his role on the show and also his life. He's a out gay writer slash actor slash producer who also lives every day with cerebral palsy and has put this put cerebral palsy into the forefront even more with, you know, his character on the show who also has cerebral palsy and is gay. So very interesting. Going to be a lot of interesting convo. Stay tuned, guys. Oh, we're totally in. Okay.
okay, sorry. Just coughed.
Go for it. No, please give it to me, darling.
Really just setting it off on a high note.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in here passing germs back and forth to each other. I'm sitting here with my very special guest today on Shangela, the podcast. I'm here with Ryan O'Connell, the author, the producer, the writer, and also the star actor of the new Netflix show Special. And first of all, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Yes. I'm so glad that you're here. Not only because I love seeing gay representation in television and film and media, but also to know that you have so many roles with regard to Special, but also that you're here now. And I want to talk to you about it. I want to talk to you about tons of stuff. And I just want to be gay and just enjoy
it. Yes, honey. The only way to be.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. So briefly, you guys don't know this. Before we just started, we were talking about just in general that you mentioned that you are going to be working with RuPaul, perhaps?
Well, I'm going to be on his show. He has a daytime talk show that's, I think they're doing like a 3-week trial run, but that's going to air. And then hopefully we'll get picked up for a full season. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking out of school.
Well,
I don't know.
Let me tell you something. School is in session. You are right. We all know RuPaul has a show coming, so I do hope that it does get picked up and continues to go on. And that's awesome. How is it meeting Ru? Because I know I've been there a couple times. Have you met him yet?
I haven't met him yet. I'm really excited because Ru's just like very formative. Like, I remember growing up watching But I'm a Cheerleader and just every, like, you know, the supermodel, like the Brady Bunch movies. Like, I mean, he's iconic. I mean, obviously.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, he'd have had me in a box a couple times, honey. So I know if he invites you to be in a box, be like, is Shangela gonna be there too?
Oh, love.
No, I'm sure on the show, among the many things you probably talk about, one is about the new Netflix special. I want to talk to you about it. I've watched all 8 episodes. Oh. And so I am like, in watching the show, first of all, the first thing that jumps out to me is the relationship that your character, Ryan, which is your name. So.
Yeah, I know. I'm really bad at coming up with names.
I know. Honey, the writer is in the room, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, honey.
the relationship between he and his mom. I'm a gay son, my mom's only child. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I do. I have 2 siblings, but like, let's just say when she came limping out of the womb, she stole the spotlight.
You know what I mean? This is gonna be my baby angel. Right here.
Yeah. Well, it was like I was like also on oxygen, so I kind of like needed to be. It was like very complicado. I mean, no, it's like my brother was only a year older than me, and I think like he's the Jan Brady of the family because once I came, you know, limping onto the scene, my mom just threw everything into my existence, which she kind of needed to be, because I think the first couple years were very touch and go. So it's interesting. Disability is interesting how it even affects the people who aren't affected. Because I just feel like, yeah, I feel like I took up a lot of oxygen in that family. You know what I mean?
Haha, pun intended. Yeah, I love exactly. that. Guys, if you don't know, Ryan, also in the show special, is a character that has cerebral palsy. And I was really like amazed because in watching the show initially, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't familiar. I was like, ooh, new gay show, click.
Totally. And I know. Us gay guys are so desperado. We're like, oh, the faintest whiff of gay. We're like, they're like literally front row with popcorn. Like, yes! Like,
yes!
And it's like literally just like two guys saying like two lines in a movie. We're
well,
like,
it's
good.
Really true that.
I know, we need it.
Visibility does matter.
Yes.
It's so important. And I'd never seen a character, particularly like your character Ryan Hayes on the show, mm-hmm. So in like in television and in film like that. So it gave me a window, a small window into that life, but also like there's so many different layers in this. Okay, so I'm gonna go there.
Totally.
Mom and son, their relationship. Yes. It's like codependent, right?
Oh, it's codependent women. It is. It's Miss Codependent. Yeah.
Miss. Oh, you got the Kelly Clarkson reference. Oh, you know, you and I are friends.
She's got layers. Yeah. Kelly head.
How much of this is based on, I know it's semi-autobiographical, how much is it based on your real life?
It's based on my real life, but it's exaggerated. Like, I never lived at home with my mom until I was 28. I moved out at a normal time, which was time for college, mm-hmm. so 18 years old. Yeah, so I had individuated myself pretty early on, but I think that my mom and I were codependent for many years. And it took a long time for kind of to like disentangle that for sure. But I think for the show, like Ryan, the character is much more socially awkward than I ever was. Like he has no friends. He didn't have a job. His life doesn't start till he's 28 years old. Mm-hmm. And mine started when I was 18. Like I lost my virginity when I was 17. I didn't lose it at 28 to a sex worker, not to brag.
Did you wear tidy whities? Because everybody in this show seems to wear tidy whity, unbranded
it
white
hurts
briefs.
Me. So here's the deal. I did not know that my character was gonna be like not chic in the beginning. Like mm-hmm. I wrote it the way I wrote it, and then I went to my fitting and I was like, excusez-moi. Now I understand why they did that. Like this character really needs to go on a journey, and you really like his clothes really demonstrate where he's at in his life, which is nowhere good. But I remember like when I tried on the briefs, I was devastated. Because like, look, I'm a vain gay bitch from hell. Like I like want to look good. But
yes.
Like my character is not in that place yet. So
like
I just suffer through my art.
Baby, where are my Marco, my Andrew Christian? Where are my Garcon? I'm going to need these cute
Where's
undies?
My acne tea? Where's
Thank
my acne?
You.
She's ready for a breakout. She's ready for an acne tea. Yeah,
Lulu.
I know.
Knowing that you are the a writer on the show, but also the creator, one of the creators of the show.
Yeah.
How difficult was it to get a show like this picked up? Was it like you went in there and pitched it and were like they were like, yeah, let's do it. And it just happened to be on air immediately?
It took 4 years. It took
4 years?
Yeah. So selling a show with a gay disabled lead is really hard. Selling a show with a gay lead is really difficult. I mean, think about it. People think in a lot of ways that, gay representation is there, like we've made it, blah, blah, blah. But no. Gay men are allowed to exist, but they're usually the appetizer, the side dish. They're like giving you advice over a chopped salad. Like, that's where they exist. It's rare that we're allowed to let a gay man be the lead and have it be about his story and his journey. In fact, what show can you think of that actually does that? I can't, like, looking, obviously, on HBO. But anyway, so just having this gay character take the spotlight was, I think, a hard sell. And then adding his disability on top of it was a hard sell. So we went out and we pitched it in 2015, which I think culturally we were just in a completely different time. I mean, you know, Hollywood was just realizing that it was racist and didn't like women. So I think that, disability was down farther on the list. They were like, okay, honey, we'll get to you later. So everyone passed, and then we went to this digital branch of Warner Brothers that commissioned me to write the scripts, and then I did that, but I also had to keep working on shows and stuff like that. So, I worked on Will and Grace, and I wrapped Will and Grace, and the scripts were finished, and then we sent it to Netflix, and Netflix wanted to buy them as is.
You said you worked on Will and Grace, were you working as a writer on Will and Grace?
Yeah, a writer on Will and Grace, yeah.
Oh, very, very
cool.
Yeah,
it's super fun.
Yeah, you know, I live for those shows. And you can see a lot of this show, the writing is so good. Like, the comedy.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, but, you know, I keep it real, honey. It is so good, and I'm seeing it all on the way it plays out. How do you get through working with him? Forgive me, because I may not have the name of the actress exactly right, but she plays your boss.
Marla Mendel.
Yes.
She plays Olivia. Yeah. It was hard. She's lol. She's Lol Town USA, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, do you like her?
Oh my God, love.
Yeah.
Love. She's one of those characters you'd love to hate because she's like, how would you, girl, you can't say that.
I love it.
Yes, girl, give it. And she's hilarious. When she was doing her grocery list with the phone, there's this scene, she's giving her grocery list into the notes section, which is how I record most of my day. I'm like, by the way, make sure to pick up the poop in the backyard. Da da da.
Totally.
And she's like, Tic Tac.
Yeah.
Apple,
totally.
Egg, yeah. You know.
Totally,
hilarious.
Yeah. She's a gay fever dream, let's be honest. She's a gay man. She's a gay man brought to life. You know, it's like Samantha Jones. You're like, that's not a woman. That's a gay man. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Karen Walker, that's a gay man. Olivia is the gay man, basically. She's amazing. Who doesn't love an iconic boss bitch? You know what I mean? But what I like about her, and what I hope I was able to do that everyone kind of understood, was like in episode 7, I mean, spoiler alert, like she calls Ryan out for having internalized ableism. Like, to me, Olivia is incredibly perceptive, which is why she's good at her job. And I think Olivia, she just has never been ashamed of who she was, or like, I think she's really authentically herself, and she can't understand people who are ashamed, but she likes that they're ashamed because it gives her hits and then gives her, like, you know, like it makes her business boom. But I mean, I like that she puts Ryan in his place and she proves that she really is clocking everything and then she's actually quite smart.
You know, it was shocking to me when, and there's going to be lots of spoilers, guys, so I'm telling you right now, you should just go watch the show and either come back or be like, okay, they talked about it. Now I get it. That's totally fine.
Totally.
So in this, Phil, the guy who's dating your mom as well, also says your son's an asshole.
Yeah.
And calls him out. Sometimes we tiptoe around sensitive issues because we don't want to hurt people's feelings who we already may feel like, oh, she's fragile. Mm-hmm. You know, she has an emotional lot going on. Do you feel that do you respect these characters more?
Yeah, I mean, I think people tiptoe around disabled people, especially. I think we're there to kind of be served as, like, inspiration porn. And I really wanted to make a character that was multifaceted and messy and complex. And he could be an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Like, he's just like anyone else. You know what I mean? I think that, like, when a marginalized person gets their story told, I think they typically have to be like very, like they have to be virtuous and like flawless and just be like, and it's like, that's not real life. And that doesn't serve our journey at all.
And also, all people have sex.
Yes.
And in your show, they have sex.
They do.
I don't think I've seen a gay sex scene in a comedy show like this, especially on a streaming service, even Netflix, you know, in this way. It was so like interesting to watch, but also like, oh yeah, because I thought when I'm watching it, like, okay, because you don't see this a lot, they're gonna cut. Here comes the black.
Honey.
Next scene. Oh, we got insertion.
Oh, honey, we're inserting.
Oh,
yeah.
We are.
Oh, honey, it was important that we get full penetration, not just the tip.
Yes.
Because I think that, like, I've talked about this before, but when I saw Call Me By Your Name, I was very upset when they panned away to the moon. Did you watch Call Me By Your Name?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so here's the deal.
Call Me By Your Name. Also upset with that film, I gotta tell you, Ryan.
Why?
Because I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I love it. I love gay visibility.
Of course.
I love this story, but this would never happen in Black world. I'm sorry. And plus, in my world, I could not be, excuse my language, but I would not be fucking in my mama's house. Especially now with creaky floors and creaky beds, and you know how it is in a house like that, and especially in Europe, you hear everything.
Yeah.
I am not about to be sneaking into some grown man's house. Mind you, I'm under 18.
Yeah.
The man is in his 30s, and I'm creaking across. We have connecting bathroom adjoining rooms, and all of a sudden, I'm fucking in mama's house, and then they're like, we heard you last night. Like, handing me orange juice the next morning.
Love.
Not in my world, baby.
I love that's where you bump. You're just like, they fucked in their parents' house? I love that's like where you're like, I've had enough. You're like, the line is drawn.
Mm-mm.
To me, that didn't bump me because I actually did have sex in my parents' house.
But did you have creaky wooden floors? It's one thing to close the door with carpeted floors and be like, we're going to turn the music up and it's not happening.
Yeah, totally.
But come on now.
Yeah,
mama's
house.
That's true.
I love that take. I'm obsessed with it and I'm obsessed with that outrage. And I want to start a Kickstarter for that outrage. I'm into it. So I really thought the pan away to the moon was cowardly, and I thought it was a complete dick slap to the face.
Mm-hmm.
So because this whole movie is predicated upon the desire between these two characters, and you see Timothée Chalamet fuck a peach, you see him fuck a woman, and then you don't see him fuck a man. Mm-hmm. And I think that people are still really, like, TBD and scared of anal sex. And I'm just tired of it. I don't understand it. I think that we've really gotten the shaft, no pun intended that time.
Oh, that was good.
I caught it. I got it. But it's, like, it just really, really frustrates me because, like, why not? And I think that, like, you know, by not showing it, we're basically saying to the audience that the kind of sex that we have is shameful.
Yeah.
And it's not. And it's really hard. It's really hard when it comes from a writer and director that's gay. I mean, I don't mean to slam these people. I don't know them. And they did make a good film. But I'm just over it. And I'm done. And I think it's time to, I think we're in a new era of gay storytelling where... our stories can be told and it doesn't have to be about our pain.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be about conversion therapy. It doesn't have to be about us being beaten by baseball bats by, like, straight guys. Like, I think we're ready just for, like, stories about gay people that are, like, living, laughing, and loving, and it's not all about our trauma.
Well, I think it's, I agree with you in a huge way in that the visibility, but also the whole breadth, you know, of our lives
right.
are showcasing stories. So you can feel like, hey, a lot of people who don't get to see themselves in TV and film or media go, I do matter. And nothing about my life is shameful because it all can be portrayed right here.
Right, exactly. And I think you have to be, like, respectful of how the culture moves. So I think that, like, when gay stories are first told, usually they're told by straight directors, straight mm-hmm. writers, straight actors, and it's sort of like a more digestible, like, palatable, like, gay life for dummies. And again, it is usually predicated, like, it's usually, like, revolving around our pain to create empathy from people being like, look, their lives are hard and they're real people and you should feel bad for them. I understand that that's the first step with queer storytelling, but now I'm just ready for something new. I'm ready for gay stories that are just defiantly gay, that are made by actual gay people. I'm very tired of straight actors playing gay. I think, and not because I don't think straight actors can play gay. I think they can and they do an exceptional job with it. But when you see amazing gay actors that are not getting the same opportunities as straight actors, then the onus is on you to hire them and give them the opportunities.
Well, it's that's not why that I love, like, a show, the show Pose on FX.
Yeah, love Pose.
It's the representation is accurate.
Yeah.
It's authentic.
Yes.
And
you get a better story when it's authentic.
Yes, you do.
You get a better story.
Told from people that have lived the story.
Yes.
It's told in a way that you could only know that story if you were there.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you could
totally.
Only know that perspective and what's going on in the head of that particular character if you were there or if you have lived it.
Yeah.
And it helps.
Well, and it's also just really frustrating when, like, our stories get told, but, like, it's, yeah, like, we get mined for our pain, but we don't get any of the opportunities. So we stay marginalized. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and, like, then we should feel grateful. We're like, oh, well, but we made a movie about you. Like, that's enough, right? It doesn't matter that the writer was straight, the director was straight, whatever, whatever. It's like, no, bitch, like, the only way we advance is through opportunity. Mm-hmm. And if you don't give us jobs and if you don't let us tell the stories, then we stay marginalized and the cycle remains the same. Do you know what I mean?
Speak on it. Speak on it.
It's just frustrating to me. I'm not even, like, a huge liberal arts girl about it, but it's like, to
well,
me, it's not complicated.
Well, you're very Southern Methodist University liberal arts program right now, which I live.
Exactly. I know. I'm actually Sarah Lawrence. I love a Sarah Lawrence bitch from hell.
Oh, my God.
I'm not actually, but I, like, spiritually am.
Uh-huh.
But no, I think to me, it's not that complicated. Like, the thing is, I'm saying, I'm like, to me, it's like a no-brainer. And so I just don't understand. Like, I think the cult, like, we just need to catch up. I think that Hollywood is, like, 20 years behind. And it's embarrassing, and I think we just need to speed up.
You know, we all matter. We really do. And I think in this show, in special, you have so many different characters. One of my favorites. Okay, I got a lot of favorites. You
yes,
know, I've
please.
Seen
no,
shows,
I,
so
I love that
in.
You love. I love.
I do love.
Yes.
One of the characters who plays Kim.
Yes, Poonam Patel.
Bestie. Say it again.
Poonam Patel.
Poonam Patel. Girl, sound all like Hakuna Matata, bitch. I feel good. Go on, Poonam Patel, girl. Poonam Patel, I'm out. I'm living
Poonam
for
Patel.
You, girl.
Yeah, Poonam Patel.
Poonam Patel.
No, Patel.
Oh, yeah. Poonam Patel. You gotta put the. Living for her. I
yes.
love her character.
She's
one,
incredible.
Because my best friend from high school that I grew up with, Sonika Agarwal. Sonika, I'm shouting you out, girl. We went to prom together senior year.
Love.
Like, she was probably the only one of the only, if not the only, I grew up in a small town called Paris, Texas. Okay. And
not Paris, France?
No,
other,
I know.
The other Paris?
I know I sound
oh
French,
my God.
Bitch, but no.
I'm from Paris.
Paris Hilton? Paris,
it's like,
Texas.
It's like Lauren Conrad, the Hills meme. Like, she'll always be known as the girl who didn't go to Paris. They were really talking about Paris, Texas. They were.
She missed out.
That was the cliffhanger. Will you go to Paris, Texas for this fashion internship? Anyway.
They did a Chanel show once.
They did?
Paris. Well, Chanel likes to do this thing. I just heard this from her. I wasn't there. I didn't get an invite. I was not sitting on front row with Anna
Wintour.
Triggered. But, I know, right? But, Chanel does this thing where, like, once a year, they do the most random showcase.
Okay.
And they thought it'd be hilariously fabulous.
To do Paris, like, oh, it's like a troll. They were trolling Paris, Texas.
They tried to get us. But you know what? Paris is fabulous. We have an Eiffel Tower with a large red cowboy hat on the top of it.
That's chic.
It is, right?
I love that. They get it. Okay, good.
But growing up there, my best friend, Sonica, was one of the only Indian American, I won't even say Indian American. She's Indian. Both parents are Indian, but they migrated to
America.
Immigrated to the U.S. So, and then ended up in Paris, Texas. So she and I had a connection because we both felt like outsiders in a world full of people that looked a lot alike, sounded alike, you know, that whole thing. And seeing this relationship between Kim and Ryan just kind of brought back all those feelings for me. Writing this character, did you have a bestie, you know, that like either A, you went to prom with, or like B, that you based this character on?
No. You know, it's interesting. Like, I wrote this character with no race in mind, although I knew I didn't want this character to be white, because what I wanted was, I wanted there to be commonality between the two of them, where I think marginalized people, and that's like anything that's not straight white male, relates this idea that we all go through such mental gymnastics every day to figure out how to move through this world and appear palatable to everyone around us. It's always about putting everyone at ease and being like, oh, don't worry, like, I'm a woman or I'm gay and disabled, but don't worry, like, I'm funny and, like, you know, I'm like wearing cute clothes and I look cute, so don't worry about it, okay? Like, don't be scared.
Right.
So much thought, whether we're aware of it or not, and we're usually not. I really like the idea of pairing two people together that were just working really hard to just kind of make it through this world and cater to, like, the straight white male, like, status quo, you know what I mean? And so, but no, with I didn't have any race in mind, really. And I remember my boyfriend did a CBS Diversity Showcase with Poonam, and he was like, you should look at Poonam, and I think she'd be really good for this role. And I remember she did a very bit part in this really great web series, The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo, which Brian Jordan Alvarez, who plays a sex worker, wrote and directed and starred in. And Poonam is only in two scenes, and I swear to God, she was so fucking funny. I remember watching it being like, this girl's a star, even though she's truly, like, barely in it. And she's the only person that we didn't look at anyone else for. We just went straight to Poonam and we made an offer because she's just, as you can see, like, a total star. Like,
yes,
she's
she
just great. Because she's this right mix of, like, bitchiness and assertiveness, but there's a real warmth to her, which is just, I think, a credit to Poonam's real personality. Like, Poonam is truly incredible and, like, a gentle Lawler spirit. So, I don't know.
I'm going to say her name a million times. Poonam Patel. Poonam Patel. Watch out now.
Yes,
come on, star
honey.
Meter.
Yes, I mean, she's probably dying to hear that.
Come on, Miss Poonam.
I love. She's so thrilled.
You mentioned you have a boyfriend.
Yeah, I do.
In the show, first of all, how long have you and your boyfriend been together?
4.5 years.
Oh, come on.
A long time.
I have to look that up. What anniversary? Is that the fourth year you get, like, bronze?
I know.
Or something.
No, our fourth year we get to fuck other people.
Gay world.
The
oh,
gay
lovely.
World. It's a little different.
In this show, speaking of dating, Ryan has a lot of interesting relationships with people that he's interested in.
Yes.
There's the one guy that he meets that he recognized from Grindr, and then it kind of, like, feels in a weird way, and then I'm kind of like, is that guy coming back for season two? It was just his first introduction of meeting somebody, like having a connection.
Right. I think I wanted to kind of show him, put himself out there for once, and kind of be forced to do it. And obviously it doesn't go the way he plans. And I also wanted to make sure that this character wasn't, like, arch or, like, a bitch to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, like, but, like, let's face it, again, spoiler alert, like, Ryan doesn't know how to kiss. And so he's kissing
someone
for the first time.
Have you ever had a bad kiss?
Yeah, of course. We all have.
Girl, when it goes too fat, he was just like chewing on the man's face.
I know. And it was so awkward.
I'm thinking about forgetting it's you.
Well, that was actually really awkward because that was our first day shooting. And you don't understand, I'm not an actor. That's my first job ever. So they really threw me into the deep end.
Cue the Lady Gaga song. I'm on the deep end.
I know, right? I know, seriously. And so I remember Jason, God bless him, who played Keaton. I had him over to my apartment the day before, and I was like, can we practice this? Because I was so nervous. So
I'm going to have to start trying that.
I know. Oh, my God. LOL. Well, believe me, I felt like such a fucking creep, by the way, being like, can we practice in my apartment? Like, I felt so disgusting, but, like, legit, I was so nervous and so terrified. So, like, and also, like, it's this weird balance where, like, you want to it's, like, so embarrassing. Like, when we first started practicing, I was, like, just kissing him normally because, like, it's not your instinct to, like, do a bad job.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, no, like, don't worry, just be terrible. And I was like, okay. But that was mildly traumatizing. And then, so that was just a one-time thing.
You mentioned this is your first acting role.
Yeah.
You could not tell
watching this.
Did you go to school for, like, acting?
No.
They just said
no.
Or you thought this is a better role for me? Did you write it for yourself originally? Mm-mm.
No. When I went out with it at first, I was not attached to act in it. And then when we sold it to Stage 13 that commissioned me to write the scripts, they just were like, okay, well, you have to play it. And I was like, I think they thought I was an actor. I don't know. Honestly, there wasn't really much discussion. It was just sort of understood that this was going to be a low budget journey of whatever, and I was going to just have to play myself. And I went to acting classes for like 4 months, and that was pretty much my prep.
Where did you go?
I went to this amazing woman's house, Myra Turley, who was recommended to me through a friend, and I just went to her house in Van Nuys.
Yes, where all the good things happen, honey. Van Nuys,
honey. Hashtag blessed in Van Nuys.
Yes.
And we just worked on the scripts, and we just did that for 4 months, and. I feel like nothing can really prepare you for it. It's so intense. But Poonam actually gave me really good advice where she was just like, it's just like talking. You're just talking. Just talk like you're talking now. And I'm like, oh, okay. And honestly, it sounds so simple. But once you don't overthink it, it comes very easily.
Yeah, it came across incredibly naturally, which is why I got so caught up in this show. And I know you have other things. You're an author as well.
Yeah.
And we're going to get there. But I just can't stop talking about the show.
Because,
I've watched all the show.
And I appreciate it.
In dating, like, he falls in love with one of the guys who ends up having a boyfriend.
Right, Carrie.
Uh-huh. Yes, Carrie. Yeah. So... Do you feel and Carrie ends up, I'm giving you guys all the spoilers. I'm sorry, but I can't help it, y'all.
No, it's fine.
But in this, when he kisses him back, even though he has a boyfriend, do you feel that there is room for that in the world. But for this character, do you think he's like taking advantage of his feelings, or do you feel that he is just being authentic and going with the flow? Is this character a bad guy? I mean, I know you can't give it away for season two,
I know exactly how it's going to go, but I can't give too much away. But there will be more stuff with them.
See, I'm trying to get all the tea today, y'all. Y'all don't understand. I'm about to have an offline combo.
Yeah, I know. Off pod, I'll tell you exactly what's gonna happen, but
off pod is my favorite new word.
Off pod,
so you know.
Off pod. Yeah,
we mentioned you. We were talking earlier, and you said you're a total foodie.
Yes.
Okay, and I love food too.
Foodie bitch from hell.
Are you? Where are you from?
Ventura, which is an hour north of here. It's kind of like Laguna Beach with like some meth and like white power vibes.
Oh, lovely. I'm sure I'll be invited to every family barbecue over there. That sounds wonderful. Just wonderful.
I feel bad, but they do call it Bakersfield by the Sea. They do. It's very
interesting.
It's very charming. It's beautiful. It's a seaside beach town. Mm-hmm. Like, the weather is always 75 degrees, and the people are very like blue collar, and like, you know, it can get a little like da 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 da. Sometimes.
Well, I'm from Paris, Texas. Yeah. Trust me, my do-do-do's.
Yeah.
But food-wise,
yeah.
What's the best thing that you could find in like the area? What would you like to, if you were
like when
the
I was
best
growing
meal,
up in Ventura?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay, so this is so LOL. Okay, so there's this Italian restaurant in Ventura called Ferraro's, and they have this dish that I've never seen served anywhere else called broccoli fried rigoletti. And what it is it's just fried, lightly fried noodles, so they're crispy and crunchy, like smothered in sauce. Broccoli and cheese, and it's delicious.
Broccoli fried Rigoletti.
Yeah.
Not rigatoni.
No,
but the
rigoletti.
Little bitty,
yep,
with the broccoli and the cheese.
Yep. Lightly fried noodles, so they're crunchy when you bite into them, which is delicious. Once you have crispy little fried noodles, there's no going back.
You know, I've recently tried to clean up the way I eat a little bit.
Oh,
I'm from Texas. I'm a ribs mac
honey,
and cheese.
But you are so thin.
Thank you.
That's got to be Natch, right?
Yeah, because you know I'm out death dropping all across the world and all that extra. I can stay on the run. But I love comfort food because I'm from Texas. And when I moved out to LA, it was hard to find. And also, there are no drive-thrus hardly here either.
No.
So I'm going to now have to go find me some Rigoletti.
There's really good. Okay, for comfort food in LA, I would recommend going to the new restaurant Alta. It's in West Adams, which is right by Nikki's show that you did. It's really good soul food. It's really yum, yum, yum. Like good macaroni and cheese, cornbread, and all that stuff.
See, now you got me excited.
Yeah.
You got me excited.
It's really good. It's
I'm
really
so
good.
Very proud of you because you continue to do so many amazing things. I mentioned that you're an author. Before you go, please share with me about how the book I'm Special came about. The full name is I'm Special.
And All the Lies We Tell Ourselves.
And All the Lies We Tell Ourselves.
Yeah.
You're pretty young. I mean, I'm looking at you. You're like in your 20s, right?
No, I'm 32.
Oh, the lovely girl. Well, girl, whatever moisturizer you use, I need it. Okay?
La Mer, honey. La Mer.
Oh, she's got money, girl. That Netflix chick.
Not yet.
You know, I didn't force a Star Is Born movie. I ain't seen that chick either. So,
I know, honey. The reality is real.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
That being said, though, you wrote a book. Like, when did you write this book? And how did you put that all together?
So, I was writing as a blogger, and some of my posts were getting attention, so I was approached by a few book agents to write a book, and I was 25 years old, which means my brain was just like a jar of rat poison, but I was like, sure, why not, you know what I mean? And then I pitched this book called How to Be a 20-something, which I know sounds so dated because everyone, I think the millennial talk has exhausted itself. I think we can put it to bed, like give it an Ambien night-night, but in 2010, it was all the rage.
Gotcha.
It was like before Girls, you know what I mean? And then so I sold this book to Simon Schuster, and I realized that once I sold it, I was like, I have to talk about my cerebral palsy. Now, I was closeted about my disability, which is how the inciting incident of the show is this character has cerebral palsy, but he hates it and he doesn't identify with it. He gets hit by a car, and then everyone assumes his limp is from his car accident, and he decides to not correct them because in his eyes, being an accident victim is far more relatable than having cerebral palsy, which actually happened to me. I got hit by a car, moved to New York.
Wait. You got hit by a car where?
San Francisco. I was living in San Francisco going to school, and I got hit by a car. And the reality was much darker than what was happening in the show. In the show, he gets hit by a car, and he's like, whenever. He like fractures an elbow and moves on. I got seriously injured. I developed a thing called compartment syndrome, which is like not good. Hashed in a 0 out of 10, would not recommend for anyone. It's basically when something hits you at such blunt force that it cuts off the oxygen supply to the muscles. So that was my arm. So basically, a lot of stuff happened, TLDR, too long, don't read, but basically I got better and I moved to New York, and everyone just assumed my limp. And I was really dreading going to New York because it was a whole new group of people, and I didn't want to have to explain like, oh, I have cerebral palsy, but also I have this other disability, I have compartment syndrome. Like, it just fucking
Why
sucked.
Were you going to New York?
I transferred schools. I was going to school in San Francisco State, and then once I got hit by a car, I was like, I should probably just like live my truth and go to a liberal arts school in like New York.
So New York, ta-da.
Ta-da.
Every gay person's dream.
Exactly. So that's what I did. So I became an accident victim, and I thought I kind of created this giant, amazing life hack for myself. But really, I was just lying about who I was, you know? Mm-hmm. It was interesting. It really put a Band-Aid. It really did work for the first, 2 years. Like, it was wild to see my self-esteem just rise just simply from the fact that people thought I got hit by a car. Like, I had such low self-esteem when it came to boys, but like for the first 2 years of like lying about it, I just like pursued everyone because in my eyes, like Ryan, the guy who got hit by a car, deserves like all the dicks in the ass, but like Ryan, the CP, the guy with CP, deserves none of the dicks. So interesting. It's
what
like,
brought you around?
Well, so then I got the book deal. And the party had stopped in terms of my lie. Like, I was still lying about it, but it just didn't feel good anymore. And I was taking a lot of drugs, and I was like Les Miserables. And I think back then, I don't think I had the emotional intelligence to really connect the two. Like, I don't think I was smart enough to be like, I'm miserable because I'm lying about my disability. But I think that sometimes in your life, you get these like moments of clarity mm-hmm. where you just realize what it is that you need to do, and you don't understand why you need to do it, but it's sort of like something bigger than you drives you. And I knew that when I got my book deal, just something inside me said, Ryan, you need to talk about your CP. You need to do this. You need to do this. Like, this will save your life, basically. And so that's what I ended up doing. I ended up writing a totally different book about my disability. And, you know, even reading my book now, which I don't really do, but I think that I lied about it till I was 28. That's when the book came out. It took a long time to write because writing a book is hard, whatever. But I really hadn't even begun to like really unpack what it meant to lie about this identity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I don't think I understood at that time. I didn't know what internalized ableism meant. I didn't know. And you know, even when I came out about being disabled through my book, when it came out when I was 28, I really naively thought I was done. I was like, okay, I'm like out about my CP now. I'm like totally honest about who I am, mm-hmm. like XOXO, like off to the finish line of life. And, you know, really, I don't know. I really realized quickly that like, oh, I had really done like a number on myself by keeping it alive for so long. And I was going to have to come deal with it. You know what
now
I mean?
That you are so open about your story, mm-hmm. have you ever had a moment where you've connected with someone else who's had CP and they've said something to you that really like even fortified this knowledge that, you know, I have a responsibility.
Yeah, I think that my journey with disability stuff has been so tortured and kind of like, so basically like, okay. Let me try to like articulate this. Okay, so like I feel like when I in the past would meet someone who was disabled, I would feel a level of survivor's guilt because mm-hmm. usually that person, their disability was more severe than mine. And then I would feel guilty because I couldn't really relate to what they were going through. And then I felt bad because of my privilege, blah, blah, blah. And then there's also this element of, you know, like when, you know, like back in the day, like you, like your friend would be like, oh my God, you're gay. Like I know somebody who's gay. Like you guys would hit it off because you're both gay.
Yes. You're like, yeah. Oh God. You're like, we are you're so like, that's literally not compatible. Not
So like I would, if I met like a disabled person and we didn't like connect, I would feel like an asshole. And I would be like, well, is that because I have my internalized ableism? Is it because I don't like my disability? Or is it just because like literally like, lol, we just like don't get along. Or like, we're not like hitting it off. And then I think that through releasing the show, I had a lot of nerves about that because I was really nervous about how the disabled community was going to receive it. Because when you are one of the first people to tell your stories for literally 25% of the population, 1 in 4 identify as disabled, there is a true burden of representation, which of course is like bullshit anyway, because you can only write what you know and be mm-hmm. authentic to your own experience. You can't speak for 25% of the population. It's just not possible. But I was really nervous that some people were going to be upset, that there was going to be backlash. And everyone has been so, so supportive. And since the show has come out, my DMs have been flooded with people who are disabled. And
naked photos.
not as many as you think, but yeah, a lot of gay guys from Brazil. I'm sure you know about
We have this thing I'm among sure the drag you know race community. That. We always are like, mom, come to Brazil, because that's pretty much all the comments that we used to get
same,
all the time.
Same, and also
they call you mom.
Has anyone come to Brazil? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, every DM I have is come to Brazil. Well, great, honey. Let's go to Brazil.
Yeah.
I don't care. Look, like, but like, also like, pay.
Well,
you know?
Let me tell you.
Have you gone to Brazil?
Yes.
No.
I've done.
You've been on the front lines.
Three separate tours in Brazil. I've done 7 cities in
Brazil.
It's
like a war tour. You're like, I've done a few tours.
When you go, I'm gonna tell you right now. They're going to live because Netflix has this huge reach.
Yes.
And they're able to access the show that you're on. It. People all over the world are great, but people in Brazil are passionate, okay?
Oh my God,
and if they live, honey, they live.
Also, is everyone in Brazil gay on a beach in a Speedo? Like, literally, like, I'm like, is there any other kind of Brazilian other than like every Instagram I go on, it's like, they're like, live you, come to Brazil. And I go on their profile and it's literally just everyone's hot and shirtless.
Well,
drinking.
Honey, they have a good time. I'll tell you that. And they drink caipirinhas and the people are dancing and living. And
oh
you know, there is
love.
A huge I don't know if you know much about this, but Bolsonaro, which is now the Brazilian president,
yeah,
is
anti-gay. I know,
openly anti-gay.
Crazy to me.
And there are so many great, amazing LGBT, like such a great LGBT community in Brazil. So it's important that we show them love. But yeah, honey, they until y'all buy, y'all hear that, buy Ryan's ticket, okay? Call Ryan. And if y'all call him, yeah, you got to go.
Did you hook up with anyone in Brazil?
Oh my gosh, I have about 16 Brazilian husbands that I've left behind because I just had to keep it moving. So
really?
Everybody get a visa.
Oh, I love that for you, honey.
I just
all
my best
so
friend is from
hot.
They're gorgeous.
It's
but
crazy.
It's also the passion and the people.
Yes.
Because they're very from the people that I've interacted with, even the fans, they're very intense. And if they love you, they love you.
Right.
And it's great to have that kind of reception. You're like, oh
my God, it's
I'm
amazing.
The Madonna of drag.
I know.
Beyonce.
I know.
And because they're just so great. So when you go to Brazil, I can't wait to hear your stories.
I know. I can't wait.
Just
can't
don't
wait.
Take any tidy whities.
Oh my God, no, I will not, honey. I know. Stop. I saged, I burned, I did all the things.
I love it. Well, I gotta say, I am so excited for whatever's coming next.
Yeah,
I'm
thank
looking
you.
Forward to a season two because y'all left me with a couple questions at the end.
I know. Mama loves a cliffhanger because that means they had to do season two.
Well, you know, drag queens also love cliffhangers, but they're usually the toes that hang off the edge of the shoe. That's what we call them. You know, the toes grab the edge of that heel, honey. Yes.
I love that.
But tell people where we can find you in the meantime.
My Instagram is Ryan Ocon. If you're from Brazil, feel free to slide out of my DMs and say, come to Brazil.
Uh huh. He has a lot of pictures of himself. They're gorgeous.
LOL. Love you just reading me on air. You're like, okay. No, I love it.
I have pictures of me.
No, I appreciate the, like, no, because I feel so self-conscious because literally there's been all these, like, photo shoots and I'm like, here's another photo shoot. I'm, like, triggered. Anyway. And then my Twitter's Ryan Ocon. So just go ham. Go crazy.
Excellent.
Live your truth.
Well, let's all slide into Ryan's DMs, everyone. And Ryan, thank you so much for being a guest today and chatting with me, giving me most of the tea from the show. I will wait for season two. Okay, off pod.
Yes.
Y'all, I promise I'll tell y'all later, okay? Hallelujah. And guys, make sure you continue listening to Shangela right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you can find free podcasts, honey. And we will keep moving right along. Watch Special. It is so special. Netflix. Bye, guys.